Christmas Eve 2022, Late Night Communion Service. Sermon Series, God Loves You. Sermon Title, God Revealed. Bible Reading, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
Good evening. Our second reading comes from Matthew 1, and I'll be reading from verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, David, for that. And folks, so you've got to take the rough with the smooth, so we may be warmer in here, but you are due to have Kate, our new curate, speaking tonight, and instead you've got me. Not quite so much hair, and not quite so pretty either. So there we go, that is the way it goes. But anyway, let's just pray as we come over this word. Lord Heavenly Father, what would you have us understand about this wonderful occasion, and particularly as Mary and Joseph seek to honour and obey you in all that they do. Lord, I just pray that you'd open this to us for your glory's sake. Amen. Well, a husband and wife, I don't know if you've done this yourselves, but a husband and wife were daydreaming about what they would do if they won the lottery. Julie and I do that. We don't even do the lottery. But we all sat and thought, I mean, what would we do? And the wife said, "Do you know, darling," she said, "I'll tell you what, I'd employ a chef." She said, "so that I could just click my fingers and say, would you go make me a sandwich?" And the husband kind of looked at her and he said, "Oh, no," he said, "not me." He said, "no, I've got one of those already." Marriage, love, a tenuous link into our Christmas theme this year. God loves you, EWE. Sheep, you may have seen some of our sheep around the streets of Chadwell Heath just last week, reminding people what Christmas is all about, and Christmas is all about love. Now, here's the thing, and you won't have seen this programme because you're a far more discerning crowd than are the Court family, but let me tell you that we watched some absolute nonsense in our house. We were discussing this at the PCC social during the week, and it turned out that the PCC all watch a load of nonsense as well. But anyway, we watch, I mean, in fairness, there's not a lot on the telly, is there, these days? The Wheel, we like The Wheel. The Crown, if you've got Netflix. The 1%. The Traitors, we haven't got into The Traitors yet. Strictly, but that's finished. A good Christmas special tomorrow, be looking out for that. And then soon, I suppose, it'll be Dancing on Ice, all of that. But amongst all of it comes a programme called Married at First Sight. You won't have seen it, I know that. Married at First Sight. A strange programme in which experts, these relationship specialists or something, sift through thousands of entrants and pair up people who they think would get on well together and make a good couple, just off the paperwork. These people have never met each other, never seen, never spoken to each other, nothing like that at all. And then the people actually come together, and the very first time they set eyes on each other is when they get married. Not really. They call it, it's an experiment that they're doing. But their wedding day is the first time that they talk together, see each other, and whatever. And then they literally live with each other 24/7. They get married, they go off on honeymoon, they live in a flat together for about 6 weeks. And it's a strange program, because if they don't get on, if they don't like the person that they're supposed to be liking, then we get all sorts of fallouts and arguments and tantrums, and we love it. That's why we watch it. But the premise is that they're going to bring these people together into families. And some of them have kids from previous relationships, so it really is bringing families together to make new families. So far, so good. But spot the difference between that marriage and the marriage that we find in the Bible. The one in the Bible is all about bringing people together too, but it's about joining husband and wife and God. The marriage service starts, "Dearly beloved, we come together in the presence of God." And then it goes on to say that marriage is a gift of God in creation, in which husband and wife may know the grace of God, because God's active in their life bringing that grace. Because we're part of God's family. And married at first sight forgets that. In the beginning, says the opening book of the Bible, Genesis, God walked through creation with the husband and wife, with Adam and Eve, the three of them together. Fast forward to our reading tonight, and God wants to walk with this husband and wife. Emmanuel, God with us. That's my first point tonight. Why does he want to walk with Mary and Joseph? Because Joseph is considering splitting the family up. He's thinking of divorce, but God loves families. God wants to bring us together in good, lasting relationships, families with him in it. He invented families. He wants us to do well in them. And so he comes through the angel Gabriel, and he starts chatting a bit of sense into Joseph's life. Because we need somebody to chat sense into husbands' lives, don't we? But actually, we need somebody to come and chat sense into wives' lives too sometimes. Why? Because we all get stressed, men and women alike. Because we all need a word of wisdom from time to time to unpick all the knots that we get into in our lives. One of my favourite jokes is about the husband and wife who are struggling, so they go along to the marriage counsellor. Walk in through the door. No sooner have they got in through the door, the wife's off, 20 to the dozen. They all sit down. She's going at it. All the things that are wrong, this and that and on and on. And the two guys, the counsellor and the husband, got no chance of getting in. And on and on and on and on and on. And eventually the counsellor puts his pen down, gets up from his table, walks around to the wife, and gives her a long, lingering kiss on the lips. Then he goes back, sits back down. She is speechless. He looks at the husband. He says, "Now look," he says, "your wife needs that twice a week." And the guy scratched his head. He said, "Well, I suppose I could get her here Tuesdays and Thursdays for you." Here's the truth. Life is stressful, and it can be most stressful in the home, in our families. Money troubles, wayward children, trouble at work which spills over in the home. Here, Joseph is getting stressed about legalities. God doesn't care about legalities. He's interested in love. But it's hard to love fully and to love well when you're stressed, because your mind is on other things. So here's what God does. My next point, point number two, he brings peace. He brings a peace that passes all understanding, Paul, one of the New Testament writers, says. And that's not just in our marriages, it's in all of life. We're not even sure that Paul was married. Back in the Old Testament, you remember, Israel are going to go into the promised land. This is the land that God has shown them and said, you know, this is going to be for you, your inheritance. But you also remember that Israel have sent a load of spies in to have a look at it. They come back and say, "Let's not go. The people over there are huge. They've got massive armies, fortified cities. We'll get slaughtered if we go over there." And then here we are on the banks of the river looking over, and they're going to go over into that place. You remember what God says through his leader, Joshua, He says this, do not fear. Chill, relax, calm down, have peace, for the Lord your God will go with you. Strong, loving family, and I would say one with God at the centre, deals with the stresses of life well so that those stresses don't cause rifts. That's why we get married in the presence of God. We're inviting him to be at work in our relationship. That's what Christmas is all about. God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus coming to bring peace in a stressful world. Or at least that's part of what he does. And just as he brings stress, peace to Joseph and Mary in their stresses, in their worries and their fears, so he'll do it with you and me in our relationships as well. God with us, God bringing peace. And then lastly, all that because God wants us to have joy. The congregation had just heard a sermon being preached by the vicar on the need to be good stewards with their money and to spend their money wisely on the church. Well, said the preacher, you need to be using and thinking about how you're going to use your money for God and all the things of God. Well, Arthur bursts in through his front door. He's dripping with sweat. What on earth has happened to you? Asked the wife. And he recounts the preacher's talk and the sermon. He says he was telling us all about how we should be careful on what we spend our money on. And we should be wise stewards. And we should spend it on the church or whatever. So he said, I didn't catch the bus tonight. I ran behind it and saved £1.50. She looked at him. She said, you are the stupidest man I have ever met. If you had run behind a taxi, you'd have saved a tenner. We love being active, don't we? Doing things. And actually, our lifestyle throws us into that, I think. I've said it before, but one of our church family went back home to the Caribbean some years ago now, and the locals knew that she wasn't a local anymore. Even though she had been born there, they knew that she lived in London. Do you know why? Because she walked faster than them. That's amazing, isn't it? We're thrown, particularly living here, we're thrown into activity. King David is a godly man, leader of Israel. He was an activist. God had put him in charge over Israel, and he took his responsibility seriously. And actually, if you're a leader, if you head up a team or whatever it is, you're a manager or whatever, I bet you're sat here tonight quite tired. Because we take it seriously, don't we? And that means that we work harder and harder to make it better and to do the right thing and all of that. You know what God said to King David, this man who had led Israel into battle after battle and to huge victories for God and conquering the world? Do you know what he said? He said, be still. Be still and know that I am God. There's time for battles. But there's time to be still too, and we all of us need that. These two great men of the Bible, Paul in the New Testament, David in the Old Testament, both looked for God's work in their lives. They both saw God sustaining them, saw God stilling their storms. When you stop and are still for a moment, then you can see what God's been up to in your life, how he's been working with you, journeying with you, bringing you that grace that marriage service talks about. And he does it for everyone. If Mary and Joseph had had their way, they'd have been staying in the inn, wouldn't they? They knocked on the inn. They want to go to the inn. That's where they want to be. Party, party, party. Jam-packed party. Sweet Caroline being sung in every room. Madness and mayhem everywhere. And we need that. We need parties. We had a cracking time this afternoon at the Christine. We all had fun and laughter. And, you know, we need. But lasting joy comes from peace. Lasting joy is much deeper than just partying. God was doing something special in their lives, doing something deep in their relationship, and so they end up away from it all. I love this Christmas poem, and if you go around the shopping centres, often it's around the walls. 'Twas the night, I don't know why you do it in a West Country accent, but that's just the way it goes. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. I love it. Folks, if it's good enough to allow Father Christmas to do his work when we're quiet, then surely it's good enough to allow God to do his work when we're quiet. God with us, Emmanuel, God made flesh, not distant, not an uninterested God, but one who wants to walk with us through this life and will walk with us if we let him. God bringing peace, a peace that passeth all understanding, even in the worst of times. There's just an assurance, just something rock solid about being held in the hands of God. And it gets described in the Bible as peace. And then lastly, joy, deep and lasting joy. And joy is the older brother of frivolity and madness and mayhem. He's of the same family, but he's older and he's wiser and he stays around for longer. This is what I see in that wonderfully pictorial nativity scene. It's what the angels saw. It's what the wise men saw. It's what the shepherds saw. And I hope that it's what you see this Christmas. I hope you will have a wonderful, joy-filled and peaceful Christmas in amongst your families this year. Happy Christmas, and may God bless you.